Our theme for 2018 is We Have This Treasure in Jars of Clay, which is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians when he speaks of us having the treasure of Jesus within us. And in this early part of the year, when we're looking upwards to God, we're looking at how Jesus points us to the nature of God, and in particular, the various attributes that Paul says are part of love itself. And he sets these out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He begins by saying, love is patient. We know that God is love, and we look to Jesus, who is love, come down, to find out about the patience of God and how we are to respond. We're going to hear part of Jesus' teaching as set out in Matthew's Gospel, and this can be found on page 985 of the Pew Bibles, and Netta Ruff is going to read it to us.
The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found that one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went out and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Amen.
Let's pray. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive the message you have for us today. Speak to us through the words of Jesus of who you are and how we can seek to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've come to the conclusion that someone is trying to tell me something. 2 years ago, when we were going back to basics and looking at the fruit of the Spirit, I was the one who got to preach on patience. And here I am again. Now, I do admit that I'm not the most patient of people. I was really pleased when somebody in the Lessons and Carols choir said to me that she was impressed how patient I was in face of difficulties. Now, admittedly, she doesn't know me very well. And it was counteracted by somebody else in the choir saying that the next rehearsal would be the one where I lost my rag. I console myself with the thought that all of us, or most of us, struggle with patience. It's not a natural human attribute to be patient. I'm sure that at the beginning of our reading today, Peter thought he was showing great patience in suggesting that he should forgive somebody seven times. The teaching of the rabbis in those days was that you forgave people three times. So I think he thought he was being very patient. I would have loved to have seen Peter's face when Jesus said 70 times seven, basically saying that there was no limit to the forgiveness we should have. You just have to be patient with people because human beings are inclined to do wrong things and they find it difficult to stay on the right track. And it's probably because Jesus knows that Peter's going to be dumbstruck that he amplifies it all with a story about a king taking a personal interest in financial matters and particularly in his debtors. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And the king discovered a massive amount owed by one of his servants, millions of pounds in today's money. We can only assume this man had been in a very senior position, perhaps collecting taxes for the king, so that he had access to a lot of money. His punishment would be severe. It would involve his wife and children. They would all be thrown into slavery. So naturally, he pleads for the king's patience until he can pay this money back. Now, there really was no way he was ever going to be able to do that. And the king must have known that. But the king takes pity on him. Perhaps he puts himself into his shoes, asks himself how he would feel. And he's not only patient and forgiving, but exceedingly generous because he writes this debt off completely. But as the man leaves the king, he spots another servant who owes him money. And he demands repayment, and he nearly throttles him while he's doing it. And the servant pleads for patience until he can repay the debt. And now that is realistic. It's only a few pounds. But there's no patience shown. The servant's sent to the debtor's prison. Now we have to stop there and just look at the contrasts in this story. Firstly, in the debts. Millions of pounds on one hand, a debt that could never be repaid, and a few pounds on the other, which could be. We're meant to notice this enormous disparity between the debts. And we're meant to see the enormous disparity between the reactions. Because the king has very different actions towards his debtor than the man has. And we're meant to notice the difference between the two. And the way the man reacts is just so out of line that other people notice it and tell the king. And of course, he gets the punishment that he previously avoided. And Jesus finishes by saying, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." So God's patience is there for us, but he does expect us to be genuinely patient with other people. And this is something that Jesus said elsewhere as well. And whenever we say the prayer that he taught us, we say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Jesus wants us to see from this story that we need to be patient with others because whatever they owe us, whatever they have done to us, it can in no way come anywhere near what we owe to God for the salvation which he offers us through Jesus. God is infinitely patient with us. There's a hymn that we sing that reminds us just how great his love is. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. And that love includes infinite patience. What exactly is patience? The Oxford English Dictionary says patience is the calm endurance of pain, trouble, or inconvenience. Now, patience can seem quite passive and stoical. If we're patient, we can seem to just put up with things, put a brave face on it. But we're not looking at patience as the world sees it. We're looking at God's patience, which is a patience born of love. And God's patience is not passive. In the Bible, we read of his care for his people. And right from the beginning, with Adam and Eve, they didn't do what he wanted. But he didn't just abandon them. Over the centuries, he disciplined them. He rescued them. He made agreements with them, which they didn't keep. He raised up kings for them. He sent them prophets to tell them what he wanted. And finally, he sent Jesus to offer them salvation once and for all, to show them what he was like, to show them how to behave. God's patience is an active sort of patience, born of the love that he has for his people. A patience which he wants every one of us to have for ourselves, as part of the love we have for him and for our neighbors. Jesus was very patient with his disciples, who weren't always as quick on the uptake as he might have wanted. Sometimes they were just difficult. Occasionally he asked them, "Do you still not understand?" But that didn't stop him patiently explaining the meaning of parables, patiently going over things again and again. You suddenly stop now. As soon as he moves, he's all right, you see. Jesus was very patient with James and John when they wanted to know who was the most important. They wanted favored places in his kingdom. Look at how good he was with Peter when he denied him, having said that he would never do that. Being patient is not in fashion today. Our culture demands instant gratification. Waiting is tiresome and unproductive, and if possible, we should claim compensation. Telephone calls must be instantly dealt with. Texts must be answered. Reactions to news must be tweeted. Thoughts must get out there, must be shared before they are forgotten. Now, I admit I'm not a major fan of social media. But one of the reasons for that is that it's all too easy to have quick reactions and then it's all common knowledge just when you're regretting that reaction. With emails, I can see just how easy it is to react straight away, finger on send, and it's gone before you've really thought about it. And people get hurt. People get stressed out. People feel excluded. People feel bullied. And there are plenty of lost and lonely souls, both young and old, just longing for somebody with the patience to listen. The patience just to engage with them. We're often not patient with people through thoughtlessness or bad temper, busyness, selfishness, stubbornness, whatever. We're not patient with people who do things which annoy us or do things which hurt us, or with people who mess our lives up or mess their own lives up. Particularly if being patient with them means forgiveness and allowing them another chance. We're not patient with people who are different from us. Older people are not always patient with young people. And young people are not always patient with old people either. These people see and do things differently. Why should we bother? We don't put ourselves in other people's shoes. And not being patient and forgiving with other people affects us too. Some people can forgive others for the loss of loved ones or for the inflicting of really serious injury. And that's a wonderful, powerful witness. But they will admit that it helps them to move on too. And yet we still harbor grudges against people. We allow bitterness to creep into our lives, and it can take over if we're not careful. And on a world scale, we don't have patience with the people who make such a mess in the world. The corrupt, the violent, the unjust. Because we feel powerless, then we'd rather just wash our hands of them, rather than really take time to understand what's going on, to think what we could do. As Christians, we have an opportunity to show the world that there is another way to be. But it's not a way that comes naturally to all that many people. How are we to be really patient with other people? How are we to illustrate in our lives what the patience of God is like? I've got three suggestions. And the first one is to change our focus from ourselves to God. Don't focus on what people have done to us or what they owe us or how they irritate us. Focus on what God has done for us in Jesus. It puts a different perspective on things. We are God's children, known and loved and forgiven and freed from sin. Freed from guilt, sorry. God would like everybody to turn to Jesus and come back into his family. Jesus died because God loved the whole world. So could we perhaps help others to find their way to God through our example? To love them enough to be patient with them. God is infinitely patient with us. There's something to aim for there. And the second suggestion is, hold on to our faith that God is working his purpose out in the world, that his kingdom will come, that he has the power. Last week, John was looking at the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And both Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, had to wait for Jesus to come. They had to be patient. And they were upset with him for not coming quickly. But Martha added to her complaint, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you wish." You see, she had faith that enabled her to be patient, to wait for Jesus to do something, even though the situation seemed hopeless. And when we despair of situations in the world or in the society around us, or our own families even, and people are asking, why doesn't God do something? That's when we need to hold on to our faith. Peter talks about God's time scale in his second letter, and he says this: bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Our patient God is giving this world a chance to turn to him. To turn to him and be saved. That's why Jesus came. And we have an opportunity to play a positive part, to help the world to turn to him. When we despair of world affairs or our society, we need to have God's active patience and do something. Pray about it. Give if we can. Help in practical ways if we can. Sign petitions. Send letters about injustices. Support aid agencies. Work locally for charities who are helping the disadvantaged. And even closer to home, sort out the rifts in our own families or among our circle of friends. Give people another chance. Admit our shortcomings. Our faith in God leads on to the third thing that I think we can do, and that is rely on the treasure that we have in our own hearts, the treasure we have in our jars of clay. Because we're blessed with the presence of Jesus in the gift of the Spirit that comes to everybody who believes. We're not all going to change overnight into people who are patient and forgiving with everybody around us. It's against our human nature. It's against the culture that's all around us today. Patience is in short supply. But Jesus is with us to help us. To help us to find some of the patience that many people are looking for in the world around us. Some of the patience which can make a difference. Some of the patience which can point people to the God of love. Let's just take a moment or two to think about how we can have more patience in our lives, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord, we know that we're not very patient with other people. And everything around us encourages us to demand instant answers, to move on quickly, to look after ourselves. Lord, help us to focus on your infinite patience with us. Help us to trust that your kingdom will come. Help us, by your Spirit within us, to become more like the patient and generous, forgiving people you would like us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.